gang. So Morgan, Steph, Ed Marks.
They all look fairly comfortable at this stage, obviously.
I had raced only once this entire year, and that was all the way back in January. I was kind of like feeling a bit tired going into the race. My like pre-race body preparing, one of the ways that it does that is like it like shuts down a little bit, like goes into conservation mode, and then you get out there and you're like, oh fuck, like no, this is a race. So I sprinted to the first corner and I was leading at the first corner, but and then I got to the front and I was like, you know, it's actually pretty nice being at the front.
That's when you're in trouble, because they'll chase you and they'll kill you in like 30 minutes too.
It wasn't really until, like, literally I was in the race where it hit me, where I'm like, all right, this is a 10K cross-country race, one, like, which is not nothing, and two, these guys are, like, really good. I was trying to not think about the people behind me. I was trying to just think about Seth in front, because I'm like, that's, like, a way better mentality. Like,
oh, so cool.
Cam, I was like, Cam Myers is right behind me. And then Cam just comes like, just zooming by, and he was like sprinting. And I tried to go with it, but I just couldn't. Like he had like two or three more gears than I had at that point.
Go, Cam! Yeah!
Morgan McDonald third, Ed Marks fourth.
Which I haven't done. Like I feel like, well, honestly, I feel like I just need to get better at everything right now. So I feel like it's not even worth like overcomplicating
it. First race in the year, and you raced against to Tokyo Reds.
Find out more on the Coffee Club podcast.
Okay. Like and subscribe.
Coffee Club, grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie, Morgan, George, and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 209. And we are back in the studio and coming off a fun week. Well, fun week for all of us, I guess. We had Thanksgiving here in America and then down under, I got back into racing again, which was quite the experience. And yeah, we have more fun weeks coming up, actually. It's that time of year.
Are you telling us you didn't do Thanksgiving?
Did not do Thanksgiving.
Why?
Believe this or not, it doesn't exist there. But you know what does exist?
Turkeys.
Black Friday.
Black Friday,
it's Black Friday, but not Thanksgiving. Yeah, they just like cut to, they're like, screw this. We're just doing the important stuff. I was shocked because I've never been in Australia during this time of year for about 10 years. And then I'm there the week before and I see all these Black Friday sales popping up. I'm like, wow, did not know this was a thing here.
Did you support the economy?
Well, my mom did. She picked up on Black Friday, well, 5 days before it, a new Breville coffee machine.
Oh, they were on massive sale here.
So cheap.
They were $200 off here everywhere you went. Like anywhere you looked at them, they were $200 off.
So she got the new, just the standard same one that we all have, the Breville. Well, Ollie doesn't have this one, I guess. But
the Express.
the okay. Express. Okay.
I don't think they literally doesn't look like they've changed in 10 years.
They're excellent machines.
I would say that the machine, in some ways, the quality feels slightly better, but in some ways, you can tell they've cheapened some of the parts of it.
Really?
Definitely. Definitely.
Did you look at getting a new clock? Because you still have my college Breville machine.
I'm looking.
Because that machine's probably about
quality.
Yeah, but if you look after it, Ollie, lasts a lifetime.
No, I agree. But I'm just saying it's 8 years old and I know George doesn't use the grinder anymore.
The grinder kind of crapped out. Yeah. But the rest of it's going strong.
Yeah.
I'm looking. I'm browsing. But it didn't happen this Black Friday. Did you support the economy?
With Christmas presents, yes.
Or Cyber Monday?
With Christmas presents, yes.
Yeah, smart.
I did
some Christmas shopping.
I did. I supported the economy on Cyber Monday. I bought Cyberpunk 2077.
Did you actually buy that game?
Fuck yeah. Yeah, I'm really addicted to it.
Mate, did you see that big news in the running world?
Gaming
no.
world?
Well, actually, it's probably the running and the gaming world. Big news in the gaming world, and it's been news for a few months, actually maybe a month and a bit now. They are remaking and reestablishing Halo Combat Evolved, and they're calling it Halo Campaign Evolved on Unreal Engine 5, Morgan.
Huge.
The game looks insane. They're adding three new missions, and it's going to be Switzerland again. It's going to be sick. So if anybody wants to buy me that game for Christmas, they are more than welcome to. That game will be sick. But I did take partake in the sales because I bought a lot of Christmas presents, which actually was great because then I could also use my Amazon Amex points. So I was crushing it. I was crushing it with deals. Economy saved by Ollie. I mean, yeah.
Did you get anything, George?
I don't know if I did, actually.
Not this year?
Not anything major. I might have bought something for like a few dollars on Amazon that I just needed that was like kind of unrelated.
What's the biggest purchase you've made in the last year?
In the last year?
Yeah. Your car, probably. That was a couple years old.
I bought a camera this year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I heard about the camera. Yeah,
that's probably...
Are you taking lessons from Sam Tanner? He's got a camera. He's been doing
Tanner? Some. No. He's more of a real guy. Yeah. And if I want to listen and making reels, I'll ask Sam Tanner.
Yeah, that's good. He'd be very good at that.
He's too busy being a dad now.
Yeah, he is actually.
Now, more importantly, Giving Tuesday today. Isn't that a thing?
What's that?
Tuesday, it's like the biggest like charity day now in the world or in the US.
That's crazy.
After like...
Doesn't quite have the same marketing as Black Friday or Cyber Monday.
They're trying.
Right? Like, well...
Big day for non-profits. Yeah. So you should give away all your money today.
Well, before you... Wait. Let's hold that thought. Before you do that, Coffee Club is selling our sweaters.
Like, massive percentage off.
Okay, so the order of operations should be go to your local... Well, I guess this comes out on Thursday.
It's too late.
It says, hopefully you've already done the giving on Tuesday and you have a little more charity left in your heart. You can head over to coffeeclubpod.com, order our Christmas sweaters. It's a perfect time to pick them up now so you can get them in time to give the best ever Christmas gifts to your loved ones. How good is that? And if that's not enough, just a little shout out to our old friends at Core. You can still purchase their Core 2 through our link in our bio for 20% off. And they're doing a huge sale on their original Core 1, 50% off. So you can get that at a nice little discount right now. All right. I just had to say that.
Well, also,
I'm contractually obliged to say that.
I think you should also...
Just getting in the Christmas spirit. That's what it is.
You should also consider, like, even if you don't like someone, you could buy them a sweater. Like, if you think, I really don't like this person, just buy them a sweater. Maybe it will make you like them.
Or, no matter what.
No matter what, just buy somebody a sweater.
It's a win-win.
A Gus Christmas sweater?
Yeah.
It's probably going to make your day better.
I've been getting in the spirit, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We did a Grinch puzzle over the weekend.
Dude, Grinch is just it. Like, dude, I'm just, and
had
love
the,
that guy.
And had the Grinch on. Did you see it's in theaters?
Yeah, it's like 25th anniversary. I also want to go to those, you know, those like, getting back to the reels that George was talking about. You know those reels that like people that dress up as a Grinch and they make all the noises and shit? I want to go to one of those.
What noises do they make?
They like do all the grunts and the squeals and the stuff that the Grinch does. And
you
like,
know that I'm not on Instagram, so could you make one for
That's
me?
That's not in my algorithm.
Your algorithm sucks. It's pretty much like you can go to like these Christmas lands, right? And they have the Grinch there. The guy's like dressed up as the Grinch and you can go and meet him and he acts like literally the Jim Carrey Grinch and he just like...
I love that.
Some people give him like onions and he's like, how did you know? And like they all get like super excited.
It's like instead of Santa, it's the Grinch.
Yeah, well, I think the Santa line's probably actually dwindling a little bit and the Grinch line has started to increase.
That's where I would be.
Because people were...
Absolutely.
...much enjoying that. But it's been fun seeing those... videos pop up again and people getting in the festive cheer. I'm actually feeling pretty left out in my neighborhood, to be honest, lads, because everyone's putting up Christmas lights.
What are you doing?
I want to get the gun. I told you, I want to get the gun from the Grinch. You know when he shoots the gun? I want to pull that out and just shoot the gun at the, when it like kind of connects all the lights onto the house. That'd be way easier than...
You can probably get one of those.
...potentially ending my career falling off the house. But I am thinking about putting up some lights, but everybody else in the neighborhood is making me look bad. People have projectors and things. They have little inflatable, deflatable characters. And
the HOA is going to be over to your house soon, like evicting you for not having lights.
Well, I do have like... I think Gus could be a mascot. Oh, he could do something for once. He's just been hanging around the house doing nothing. He should be putting up the lights.
Well, you're out here grinding.
I'm out here grinding. He's a CEO doing checks and balances. He could, you know, put the lights up.
He's got time.
No offense, CEO. No, but
more importantly, I got in the spirit by watching Die Hard, finally.
Did you? I've never seen that
Never
film.
Seen it.
Sandra and I watched that last Christmas for the first time.
Is it
good? It's a good movie.
It actually is.
Isn't Alan Rickman in it?
Yeah, he is.
I do like Alan Rickman.
Like, he looks so young. It was weird.
Really?
Hell yeah.
It's a good movie for just like what it is, you know, just a classic, like old, I'm assuming it's like 80s action movie.
It's pretty, it has to be old.
Yeah.
I think it's not a Christmas movie and it is also a Christmas movie at the same time. Because it would be weird to watch it at any other time of year than Christmas, which I feel like makes it a Christmas movie.
Well, Dathan's always claimed that is a, like it's a very, very... stable Christmas
movie. I think, yeah, for certain people, it's like that's their go-to Christmas movie that they watch. Because mine is normally The Grinch. Mm. I would say is like if I'm going to watch a Christmas
Polar Express
movie,
for me.
Polar Express, yeah. Or I like that British one as well. You would like the six different mini stories.
Top Gear. Love Actually.
Yeah, I like Love Actually.
Love Actually is great. That's a great. You should watch Die Hard. You should.
Yeah, I might.
It's on.
I gotta.
It's on Prime or something.
I gotta get around a few things first.
He's busy.
I got a few things I gotta do. I got a few things to watch.
Can
I do want to watch it. I really do want to watch it. I gotta watch some movies that Meg wants to watch, and then I'll get to that movie.
Mm. God,
it's like that thing where you like, it's an action movie. It's
probably, are they Christmas movies?
Yeah, they'll be Christmas.
I mean, you can also watch movies on your own.
Well, I am. Well, I did do that. I watched Predator Badlands on my own.
Was it good?
I was the only one in the movie theater. It was the day it came out. I got a popcorn and an IPA, and I sat there and I had a great time. I thought it was great. It's very different to the other usual Predator movies that I'm big fans of. The same director of Prey is the same guy, and it was very good. Frankenstein was the movie that I watched recently.
I want to watch
the Netflix one. Very good. Really liked it. Oscar Isaac is one of my favorites. I think he's great. And Jacob Elordi is pretty good.
Christmas. Unrelated.
Well, it's like wintry. So snow. It's the same season, but it's not Christmassy in the sense of like wonder and cheer. It's more like heartbreak and death. But in general, I will get that on my list, George, my Die Hard list. Yeah. Dude, you look like Tame Impala right now. I have to say, I've been looking at you for the past like 20 minutes. I'm like, your haircut, you look like Tame Impala. Don't you think?
His name is Kevin Parker. Sorry.
You look like Kevin. Thanks. If I said you look like Kevin, people don't know what I mean.
But so true.
If I say Tame Impala, then people will understand.
Can I just shout out the movies that I watched on the flight as well while we're talking about movies?
Yeah, I'm actually, let's see that movie section.
Because I actually don't normally just like binge movies on a flight. I'll normally, my favorite thing to do is watch an entire season of a show generally. And for whatever reason, I was feeling movies this flight. And I'm not a massive war movie guy either, but I was watching all these violent, well, they're not all war related ones, but the first one I watched, I just want to see if you guys have seen these. Civil War.
I've seen it. Like the Marvel one?
No, it's
like the
new one. It's got, you know, it's hard to explain.
The main actress is Kirsten Dunst.
She's the spy, Mary Jane, MJ. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
She's very good.
I've never seen this.
It's good.
You would like that, George. Like
US Civil War era.
Yeah. It's like a modern.
It's a slightly futuristic, dystopic America. Like pretty much the same, but America's in Civil War.
Pretty much the president takes
like the Western
turn.
Front.
And there's like the Western
Florida,
states.
Florida, I think,
is
doing their own thing. I don't know.
Yeah, like Texas and California
Texas
are taking
seceded.
Over.
Seceded.
The rest of the country to try and take back power to the people. It's so like a massive war.
That was movie one.
What'd you follow that up with?
Number two, which I don't know if either of you guys would have seen this one, but I think you would love this one in particular, Ollie, because of your John Wick love, Blade.
What, Wesley Snipes?
Wesley Snipes Blade.
Yeah, unreal, dude. I've seen all three of them.
You have? Okay. Yeah. Okay, sorry. I take it back.
The problem with me, Morgan, is I didn't have many friends growing up, so I watched a lot of movies.
This is like a classic. So this is a vampire movie, but it's an action 1998. It's so good.
It's a comic book movie. Like, it was one of the first R-rated comic book movies, and it's so good.
Wesley Snipes, what a badass.
He's a badass.
In the movies, he's just...
Yeah.
He's a daywalker. He just goes and kills vampires. So, pretty cool. Number three, if any of these three movies you would have seen, George, it's this one, Dunkirk.
Yeah, it's good.
And like, it was funny because I didn't know what to expect going into Dunkirk, except I knew that Harry Styles
was in
it.
That's the Harry Styles one, right? Yeah.
I knew that it was about war, and I knew it was Christopher Nolan. So I thought it was going to be much more grand in its scale, but then it's such a
very small,
contained
very
story,
yeah.
But it's done so good, so well.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All
right, one for three.
Yeah, the tonight, it's my brother's last night, we are going to watch Monkey Man, the Dev Patel movie, because I love that movie. I think you would like it, George. It's John Wick-esque, but it's produced by Jordan Peele. It's directed by Dev Patel, and it's like, it's a good story. Visually, it's quite grand, I would say.
It's a good movie.
It's like you've told me about it before.
Yeah, and then if you're talking about war movies, Morgan, have you seen Fury?
No, I started
that's
that one.
Really good.
That's a really good film.
I didn't, but I want
and
to.
And there's a German film that was out on Netflix that's depressing, but it's All Quiet on the Western Front, like a remake. Yeah. That one's really hard to get through.
War movies are like, they're kind of like, they're like a emotional commitment because you know that like you're
going to feel pretty bad
like
afterwards.
Getting into something that's like, okay, this is big and this actually happened.
I watched that movie and then I watched like four episodes of SpongeBob before I went to bed because I was like, I'm just like, I needed to get out of reality for a little bit. So But I'm glad we got our movie exchanges in.
Well, Morg, yeah. What is this podcast actually going to be about? Tell us.
So it's about nothing. No, so today we're going to talk a lot about my recent trip to Australia and return to racing through the World Cross Country Trials. Sorry, one last thing. Quick shout out to Adam Roth for sending these beans in from Three Ships Coffee Roasters in, I think it's Virginia Beach. He sent us all these cool t-shirts as well. They've actually never sold, but you've probably seen us maybe wearing these OG Coffee Club. He does his own screen printing business. He's worked for Citrus Mac, like some of those guys as well. So people might have seen him, but thank you so much for sending these beans in. They look super good.
Look delicious.
Ships. But So yeah, last week I was away because I was traveling down to Australia to compete in this race, which was my first race in quite a while. I had raced only once this entire year, and that was all the way back in January, the Houston Half Marathon. And then since that, as we all know, a string of injuries had kept me out of racing. And as we also know, there's been some big life changes recently for me in terms of my training. So I was going into this one, and well, one, I was excited to just trip back to Australia, especially this time of year. It was a classic case of, like, before I left, the weather was pretty good here. And then I saw the report was like, it gets cold. And then I escaped to Australia and it was quite nice there. So I was happy for that. And just to be home is always good, as you guys well know. It's always nice, a little trip home. And like where like my family's living right now, it's like right next to the park. So everything, my life there is so nice and contained. And being back in Sydney is just, it's really hard to put into words why a country like Australia, I'm sure New Zealand is the same, feels so different to here. But being back there, it does feel really different in a lot of ways. And especially being like in Sydney, I would say like it's just always so nice and sweet. I think for, you know, the longer that you're away, you almost appreciate it more. Mm. Maybe that's not true of everyone, but that's how I feel.
I feel the same way. I feel like I lost a little bit of connection, but I feel a very great sense of community when I go home. And I feel like the nostalgia and the, I don't know, a lot of the things that you feel when you're at home. I'm sure a lot of people have the same things with their hometowns, but
especially for us, because now we've been doing this whole little running thing for so long. It's like, This is the park that I ran in every day when I was younger. And that, I just run past spots that I'm like, oh yeah, I did a session here when I was like 6 or 7 years old.
Dude,
this is where my first cross country race ever was.
Isn't it crazy to think where you go?
Yeah.
From like, I did a double run around the parks, and I remember I was playing soccer when I was like 4 or 5 around these parks, and I had no idea like what I was going to do.
And then you're like,
and then I'm like, shit, I'm living in Colorado. Yeah, it's a crazy experience. I can imagine. Are your family back in their place? Because I know they're renovating. So you're in the apartment.
Well, it's not an apartment. It's a house. It was where my family's staying. Not too much personal information.
Yeah, sorry. But, I shouldn't ask.
It's my grandparents' place. So when I was younger, I like would stay there as well.
Yeah.
So I have good
memories.
It's
pretty
there
close.
Also.
It's in Sydney, so it's not like far away.
Yeah. So it's familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just awesome. And you get back in. I arrived back on a Thursday, and then I was racing the next Friday. So I had approximately 8 days to get over. Like, you know, you get back, You do a trip like that and you have the jet lag, and it's just like, you know, it's not like you're going to really gain much. You're just trying to get over it and prepare to race. And I was pretty nonchalant about the whole racing thing in terms of, I think in my head I was trying to downplay it a bit, you know. I was just like, all right, which in reality it's not the biggest race in the world. So it's like, that makes sense. But, you know, you can easily put a lot of pressure on yourself, I suppose, when you've gone through some changes. And yeah, I was taking it pretty casual. I maybe made a mistake, which, yeah, I guess it worked out. But on Sunday, I think I did a big like double threshold day. And because I just wanted to try getting one like normal session day during that time. But the problem, I think I would have been okay, except the problem was that I did it all on grass, because it's just, you run the grass there. And that's just like, compared to what we are used to running on here, just like fucks your body.
Oh, yeah.
So then I was like, shit, like I was feeling all these little.
And you're racing on grass too.
Yeah, racing on grass, I think, is like more, is like, that's fine. But I think like when you do, you know, I probably did about 10 miles of like threshold on grass that day. So it's like, shit, I had all these little niggles pop up, and it's like, all right, let's just try recover from this. But it ended up being all good. I went down to Canberra the day before so I could do a little jog on the course. And I linked up with a couple of the OEC Oceania guys, Ed and Zach, which was cool. We got to talk about books, because they had already finished the Strength of the Few.
They finished The Strength of the Few,
which I hadn't at that point, but I have now.
Okay.
So they were disappointed in me that I was so far behind in my readings. But yeah, it was nice just do a couple laps down there. And a few things immediately stood out to me because I had this picture in my head of the course, but that picture was quite dated at this point because the last time I had ran on this course was 2013. So it'd been 12 years or so. And first off, there was kangaroos everywhere, which I didn't remember there being kangaroos everywhere. And honestly, to the point where, because kangaroos are a pretty chill animal, you know, you're used to seeing them around if you live in certain areas, not where I live, but they're very, like a lot of people say they're like deers, but they're much more like friendly around people than deers are. They're not nearly as skittish. And they're almost too casual because on the course, there's some like more narrow sections. And on the day before it, when we were doing the pre-race jog, they're literally like just in your way and they don't move. And they're massive. Like these are like massive. You're
the
scared.
Gray kangaroos?
I don't really know the difference between red.
The red ones are the big ones, like the big outback ones.
These
are
like
ones.
Muscly. These were big boys.
So what color were they?
They
even
were
red
brown.
Ones aren't like red.
Well, they're reddish.
Reddish, yeah.
That's what they're called, red.
Kangaroos. I know, but like, they're it's both, not like, oh, that thing is same. Bright red.
They had.
So, can you tell by the color?
Yeah.
Really?
I will say they had both elements of red and gray in their fur. But I would say
they're interbreeding.
They were muscly. They weren't wallabies. I could tell you that much based
on
their size.
Dude, wallabies are so cute. They're the little ones.
So
what did
like,
you do? You just stopped?
Yeah, we like stopped and did a walk. Kind of like you do with like geese sometimes if you're afraid of geese.
Oh, cobra chickens.
And they had like their like joeys and stuff. They were so cute, but they're just so muscly. You're like, yeah, I don't want to fucking like, I don't want to mess with you, dude. I get it. This is your spot. Like I'm just here. I'm just a tourist. Like, yeah.
Just let me through every... You know, a few times and all.
Dude, I was like, if this is the situation on race day, I don't know. There might be a fight between the kangaroos and us on the race course. And I do not think that we're winning that fight. These guys are looking jacked. But luckily on race day, they were still all around and they still were jumping across the course, like in front of us sometimes, but it was a bit better. Apparently the main thing you got to watch out for there is there's a lot of brown snakes. So I was happy that we weren't the first race
in Australia
because I felt like the first race would be surely the highest to encounter a brown snake. This is my aunt. Shout out to Auntie Alex. I have cousins that live out there. So it was really cool to get to catch up with them. And she was like, yeah, there's a lot of brown snakes here. So you got to watch out.
Are there spiders too?
Yeah, but you don't really see them. So
you wouldn't run into them unless you go looking for them. Yeah. Spiders. The snakes would come out.
What else is venomous out there?
Well, the brown snakes are so long as well that they would take up the entire court.
And they would. But the thing is, if they're straight, you're actually usually pretty good. If they're curled up, that's when you're in trouble because they'll chase you, and they'll kill you in like 30 minutes too. Because they're
the second most
poisonous snake in the world. They're just hanging out in the
legit.
Course.
So, luckily, didn't see any of those. But more related to running, what I was kind of like shocked by was how hard the course was. And I think this is a product, a lot of...
Difficult or rock hard? Like
no, difficulty.
Surface. Oh, okay.
It was a really nice like soft grass because it's been raining.
It looked amazing.
So that was like perfect. Yeah, such a nice course, honestly. And just so pretty around there. But no flat, like just rolling hills the whole time. The flattest part was like the start finish straight, which is like still a slight uphill, but pretty flat. And then there was like a flat section kind of at the bottom. But the whole rest of it was a flat... Or was it rolling hills? And I think...
Like a nuttycomb?
Yeah, I was going to say,
no, way more. Like, well...
Which is not as steep as that, but more constant.
Probably not as steep, but constant. Just that's like, probably what it is because it's just never flat and it's a way smaller course because it's just like this big loop where you do all these like little ins and outs. It's 2.5K. And I had never done the full 2.5K loop, which does have the biggest hill on the course specifically on that loop. But then also I think it's just because I've been in America for so long and I've gotten exposed to these, you know, an American course is just so much more likely to have like these long stretches. And that just doesn't really exist on as many Australian
courses.
We don't
have to land.
Yeah, it's not quite the same. And so it was just like, I think for an Australian, they look at that course and they're like, yeah, that's pretty like, moderate, like this not crazy. But for me, it was like, oh, this is like actually very hilly. And it's essentially where the big hill is in the first half, but like the whole first half is big net downhill. And then the whole second half is big net uphill. So you're kind of just like, yeah, you're always running up and down. But it makes it for such a fun, exciting race.
Just four loops.
Four loops, 4 2.5K loops. That was it. Plain and simple, nice and easy. Can't get lost. So that was good. But I was so like, I was a bit scared because I'm like, okay, I didn't realize this. And I think at this point, the fact that I was finally racing again was getting to me a bit more. But I was still like just excited and pretty casual about it. It wasn't really until like literally I was in the race where it hit me where I'm like, all right, this is a 10K cross country race. One, like, which is not nothing. And two, these guys are like really good. And like, there is actually like stakes to this race. You know what I mean? In terms of like, if I don't do well enough, like I'm not going to qualify for World Cross. And I really want to qualify for World Cross. So that was kind of like when it hit me that I'm like, oh yeah, we're back racing. But it was funny how things played out. It was real casual, like very casual vibe out there, as you would expect before the race. And I had, on the Friday, I had spent all day in bed pretty much. Like I'd been super chill, not really wanting to do anything. And so then I think this is a very common feeling, but I was kind of like feeling a bit tired going into the race. You guys ever?
It was pretty random. It was like a sunset cross country race.
Yeah, 7:15 p.m. race. Mm. I don't know if you guys ever get, I think sometimes my like pre-race body preparing, one of the ways that it does that is like it like shuts down a little bit, like goes into conservation mode. And I just feel a little bit like tired, like not out of it, but maybe like just a little bit. And so I was feeling that as I got to the start line. And one thing that I had been afraid of, because it was this such a chill environment, was that it was going to be one of those races where you're just like running along and you just like see your mom on the side just saying like, go Morgan. And it's just like, you know, that kind of takes you out of like the, you, like, you know, when you're racing, you want to be pretty locked in and like really focused. And if the atmosphere isn't there, sometimes it feels almost too casual. And I've made that mistake before. Some of the races that have felt the hardest for me in my career have been, for example, going for a regionals qualifier in the 5K when I have like my expectations of like, oh yeah, like we're just going to go chill and just jog. And then you get out there and you're like, oh fuck, like, no, this is a race. Like, so I was afraid of that. So what that meant was that I did, like initially my race plan was just sit in the pack, just chill. And then it's probably going to ramp up the last, either the second last lap or definitely the last lap and just go with it and just test yourself. But then I was like, I got to the start line. So this is like literally 30 seconds before the race. I'm like, actually, I want to just like get out hard just to like wake myself up and then I can settle down. So I sprinted to the first corner and I was leading at the first corner. But and then I got to the front and I was like, you know, it's actually pretty nice being at the front. Like you get to take whatever line you want. There wasn't really any wind at this point. And like the ground, like I just felt good running at the front. So I'm like, okay, new race plan. And this is like 200 meters into the race. I'm just going to try to stay at the front the whole time. And
so how long did you stay there for?
So
a few laps.
I was at the front or like right on the shoulder for the first 2.5K, which was slowish, like not super slow, but it was the slowest lap. And then on the second lap, Dave McNeil made a little move where he dropped the whole pack by about 15 meters, but then I was still leading the pack. And then we caught him on the second half of that lap.
Legend.
Yeah,
NAU legend right there.
Absolute legend. Ex-roommate of mine. We've had some good memories at races. It was actually so sweet to see. Like seeing someone like him at this race was like so good. Just like, ah, oh, good memories. But then on the third lap, I was leading and that's when it started ramping up. The race did end up being, I would say, a pretty like linear progression of just like increase in pace throughout the whole thing. And the third lap, I was pushing a bit. But I was too afraid to ever look behind me, or I just didn't want to ever look behind me. So I never knew how big the pack was. And like, I was thinking about trying to win the race. So it wasn't like I was thinking necessarily like, all right, let's say top five in this race. So I didn't really know, like I could, you can kind of sense it a bit, but I was never really sure. So on the third lap, I'm like, all right, let's start ramping it up. Like I'm actually feeling pretty good at this point. This is probably like, yeah, I started feeling like, okay, yeah, I actually feel like I can like open up a bit. Speeding up. And then I think it must have been going into the last lap, Seth made his move. And it was a pretty distinct, like, just like move, just increase in pace. And he probably dropped us all by about 10 meters. And then, see, I didn't even look behind me and I'd like be fully aware of this, but I knew that it was really small at this point, the pack. And I knew there wasn't many people behind me. But at this point, I was like starting to hurt a bit on the last lap. Like I was putting in a pretty solid, like a very solid effort, to be honest. But I was trying to not think about the people behind me. I was trying to just think about Seth in front. Cause I'm like, that's like a way better mentality. Like, you know, if you just keep like him within like striking distance, and you just use that to like a carrot in front of you, you know, to like keep pushing you to keep going. Like that's how you're going to get the most out of yourself in this race, which is what I mean. At the end of the day, like that's what it came down to. I was like, all right, we just got to, this is going to be a big effort this last lap. Let's just like give it everything. And what that meant was that once he had his 10, 15 meters, whatever it was, like that gap stayed pretty consistent, honestly, the entire last lap. Like there were times when I was catching him a little bit, but I never really like closed it that much. It was pretty consistent. And then you were coming up the last 2K of the race, and I could feel like people like sitting on me, who I, you know how you can just sense like these guys have been sitting on me the whole time. So they must be feeling actually like, okay. Like if they've been just sitting in behind you, you know that maybe they have another gear or something. And then in the last K is when we started going past like a lot more of the fans and stuff. And I heard so many people cheering for Cam. So I was like, okay. So Cam, I was like, Cam Myers is right behind me. I know it. And I got to say, dude, shout out to all the fans that were out there, because it was actually so fun, like all the cheering, because it actually did not end up being what I had feared, where it was like, okay, this is like, doesn't feel like a race. It felt like a race. Like there was like people running all around cheering us on, like real good atmosphere. There was definitely big sections of the course where there's no fans because it's kind of the other side, but honestly so good, and so many people were cheering us on. Like it was awesome. It felt like I had like a lot of fans out there, you know, and like a bunch of Coffee Club fans, and got to meet a bunch of them after the race. So shout out to all those guys that came up and got a picture and all that. It was so nice to meet you all after the race. But yeah, at this point I'm like, okay, so like Cam is on me, and I didn't really know who he was, which I have to apologize.
How long to go right now?
So let's say there's like probably 500 meters left in the race. Like we're coming around almost to like get to like the final corner, which is like once you turn that final corner, it's probably like a sprint 150 to the line. That's it. So I knew Cam was behind me, but also I knew there was a guy called Ed Marks behind me who had this, I didn't recognize him, but I have to apologize to him because I think I've met him before, and he's actually like a really good cross guy. Like he's just does his thing like down in Melbourne, I think. But he, like afterwards I looked him up and he came, was it last year or the year before at World Cross? And he came like 25th. So he's really good at cross, and he's run fast on the roads as well. And he had been sitting on me the entire race. So I was like, okay, this guy's like feeling pretty good as well. And then as we turned that final corner, it must have only been 300 to go or something, like, or 200 to go. Like, it wasn't even that much. And I was, like, still locked on to Seth. I'm like, all right, I'm going to sprint and try to catch him. And then Cam just comes, like, just zooming by. And he was, like, sprinting. And I tried to go with it, but I just couldn't. Like, he had, like two or three more gears than I had at that point. But it was good because, like, I mean, that was, like, for me, that pushed me to get everything I could out of myself. And then I could kind of see it play out in front of me where like I caught Seth a little bit, but then Cam just like went straight past him and ended up getting the dub, Seth second, and then I was three seconds back maybe. So like in the end wasn't too much. Ed was like 3 seconds behind me, and then people came in at like slightly larger time gaps. But yeah, finishing the race I was honestly just like super happy, like reflecting on, I was like, oh my god, like that was like a fucking big effort, like to return to racing in a race like that after, you know, not racing for a long time, but also just like with where I'm at with like my training and stuff. It's like I knew going into it, like I had been like, that is one thing that I think that I have been doing well, is having perspective, where it's like, all right, you're like two and a half months into like a new training system after a bunch of injuries, like you go, your fitness is going to be what it is, and you race to go try and get the most out of yourself and just to get used to racing again, and also to get all the benefits that you get from racing, you know. But it's like you can't like be too hard on yourself. But I guess the thing that I was most afraid of looking back on it now is that, because we're all like these big competitors and also like we're used to having like kind of a certain standard, is that maybe when you're too far away from where you want to be, like there's a chance you might just like give up and jog it in. Does that make sense? I don't know if you guys have ever felt like that in a race, but it's like, well, I wasn't ever going to give up and jog it in literally, but I mean more like, you know, take your foot off the gas pedal rather than feeling like you really gave it everything. Like I wanted to feel like I actually like got the most out of myself on the day. And when I crossed the line, I was like, yeah, I definitely did got everything out of myself. And honestly, like the result, it was like, I was like, so pumped with it. Like I think going into it, I knew that Seth was going to be Like, I actually expected Seth to do essentially something along those lines because I knew that he's just at that level. He's very fit. He's a real tough racer. I knew that he was going to, like, if no one else made a move, I knew he was going to make a move and he was going to feel confident in himself to do it. The one that was like a question mark was Cam Myers, because I was like, okay, this guy's literally he's so good. Like, he's raced so much, but like 10K cross, you know, you never know if someone's like going to be able to like be as good at 10K cross, you know? And I was really impressed by him. And I think a lot of people were. You're like, wow, this guy's like really fucking strong and really good. And honestly, like, if you know the way he trains, I think it's maybe not the biggest surprise, because
very aerobic.
Yeah, he's aerobic. And like, we were talking after and he was telling me like, you know, I'm not going to say it on live, but like, he told me like what his LT1 is, like he's K-based. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like, you're very fit.
Yeah.
You're very good at running, stuff like that. So like, it's not the biggest surprise, but at the same time, it's a bit of a wild card. And I think for him, like, he's probably just got to feel so confident about it. But yeah, he's just also like, what is he now? Like 15 yet or something? I don't know.
14.
14 maybe. Yeah.
I think he can buy a coach without supervision.
So
could he run the junior race at Ford Cross?
I think he,
maybe but 1 year out.
Maybe 1 year
out. Is he 19 right now? And all jokes aside?
I don't know. That would make sense though.
Aerobically though, I know Seth more from his Instagram, but I know Seth's been training pretty hard for quite a bit. Cam, I'm sure, has been doing the same.
Yeah,
taking
guys
a break, but like, they're all probably training pretty consistently. And also, I feel like maybe it's a home field advantage. I think Cam spent some time on that course. And it's like with Nutty, with you, Morgs, and I remember with me, like, once there was a race at Nutty, I felt pretty confident with how to handle that course.
He definitely
and
knew the course.
I know you ran that course, what, like 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
So been there before, but I imagine it was like kind of cool to go back wow.
Yeah. He trains there. So like, it was cool for me, but for him, it was like, this is like every Tuesday, like I'm out here like grinding these reps. And I think that does like maybe help, but I think like nothing can replace just the pure like strength and fitness that he showed on that day. And yeah, I felt like for me, like I felt really in that spot where I have so much to work on in terms of just, you know, how you feel towards the end of a race, being able to then still like perform and close really fast, you know. And I feel like a lot of that comes from racing a lot in the last year or two, or doing like those specific like harder sessions, you know, which I haven't done. Like, I feel like, well, honestly, I feel like I just need to get better at everything right now. So I feel like it's not even worth like overcomplicating
it. First race in the year, and you raced against two Tokyo reps. One of the, like, they're both like world-class. I would say they're both world-class cross-country athletes. Ed Marks is a world-class cross-country athlete, and you were right there chilling, you know, not chilling, but you were right there like, you know, grinding it out after this long hiatus. I think it was a very impressive feat.
And job done.
So, like, you got your job done.
Qualified for Worlds.
You got great knowledge as well of, like, where you are. So, like, you know, you'd be like, okay, like, I know where to go with my fitness. I know where to go with, like, these harder sessions I need to do. I know where to go with my race plan, my race fitness, my mental angst, all those things, you know? So, I feel like it was a very successful trip down under. It didn't get bitten by a brown snake.
Or punched by a kangaroo.
George and I didn't burn down the facility here. I think everything went well.
It ticked so many boxes, and above all else, it was like so fun. And like, I really fucking enjoyed it, because it was like, it was just such a good environment. I think to like have like my first, well, it'd be a good environment for you to race at any point in your entire life.
Bring in cross country pro races.
Maybe you want to run on that. Maybe you want to run on that course. The photos made it look so cool.
The videos of us just like ripping down the course with kangaroos. It's like the funnest, like with all the turns and the ups and downs of the hills.
I cannot believe they didn't have World Cross there.
Yeah, it must be a facility thing. Maybe they just can't have that many people there. I don't know. Did you see World Cross being there, or is it too small, the course?
It's almost too small. But
is it?
But like, I would just say like, fuck it. Like, let's just like do it. Like, look how fun this. Let me try to find a good video for the guys.
And now 5 weeks to Tallahassee?
Yeah. Look how fun this is. it's ripping.
Yeah, that's quite a big hill.
I feel like that's big enough course.
So is that Seth out in front by?
This is the last lap. This is like
25 meters, maybe.
Yeah.
You and Cam and
Ed. Ed. That was the pack.
Yeah, that looks so sick.
Dude, it was so good. It was just fun. And then, like, yeah, the people out there were so good. And I had my family out there and my got to be, hang out with my cousins again, who, like, obviously I barely get to see them and stuff. So it was very
sweet. Did they recognize you?
Barely. My cousin made a sign. She was the only one out there with a sign. She had a Chicken Boy Morgue sign.
Nice. Hell yeah. Let's go. Oh, that's awesome.
It was nice. So good. So, yeah, it was a fun time. And, it's like, if as pro runners, I think if there was a calendar that included races like this, it'd be so fun because, yeah, like, they are just cool to go and do. And also, this one had stakes because this one was, like, there was a goal of, like, qualifying. But I would say, like, generally speaking, it's like, you just go do it. And it's like, you just go and give it your best and you get.
Was there any prize money?
I don't know. Definitely not. But it's like,
well, there's a 100K rollover bonus if you get top three at the trial championships.
Yeah, so luckily I hit that.
And that has to be an Australia approved race. So.
Yeah, but it's just cool. It'd be cool if there was more like that.
Yeah,
in our lives.
Cross country pro races would be sick. Like, I think it would be so cool.
Too bad
there are a lot in Europe. No sound running.
I would love to go do the European circuit at some point in my life.
But wouldn't it be cool to have like out like a team where you could like. Have a team and then go and
that'd be the best. It's like you just go and race. Yeah. It's like you're not caring about times. You're just going and competing. It's like you can have like I feel like cross country feels like much more. You can have like a between 90% and 100% day and like it's like you can be happy. You know what I mean? Whereas on the track, it's like
very small.
You feel like you have to be operating at like 98% plus, like literally every time you step on a track almost. Apart from like maybe those very early season ones.
Mm. But you just going out there as Rust Busters.
Yeah, it was good old Rust Busters.
Not even hitting speed work.
Yeah, so.
Do you feel good about the plan from now to Tallahassee?
So part of the reason why I kind of rushed back here to the US is because it's not like the longest time ever, but it's the perfect amount of time for me to use this week to get back into things like over the flight, essentially. And then I'll have a 4-week block of hopefully 100% training. And then it'll be race week. So just, and honestly, you know, I don't think it's going to be very complicated. Like, I don't think much is going to change. I think it's like, all right, let's just keep training. And let's just try and stay healthy, especially as the winter. The biggest complication is probably going to be the weather, like the changing seasons as we have to deal with the coming of winter.
All roads lead to Tallahassee.
So, yeah, dude, I'm so excited to go back to Florida.
Imagine
if it's just like
I was
cold
about to
rainy.
Say what do you mean back to Florida, but that just brought back bad memories.
What if it's just cold and rainy? I think it's gonna be nice weather. I don't know why.
I think it'll be good weather, but I would laugh and just be like typical if it's like this point of rain.
What
like,
you could do is do your 4-week block in Orlando.
Go back there. Yeah.
At Disney World. Just do your 4-week block at Disney
just
World.
Just really get keyed into the Florida mindset.
Yeah, I'm going to be hitting the sauna every day, doing my... I'm not going to, like, heat train for it necessarily, you know? I'm just going to go in the sauna, I think, and
just for vibes.
Just vibes.
Just vibe it out.
But at this point, it's like, all right, let's just get another solid bucket training. I have a feeling, I think this is going to be a really hard world cross. That's my sense right now because...
I think so.
I think just based on the course and the conditions it's going to be, it's really going to suit... I don't want to oversimplify it. But essentially, World Cross is really hard because there's so many good African runners there. And probably what disadvantages them the most is cold weather and if it snows. That's like just being realistic, you know? And I think this is going to be...
Like if it's in Europe, basically.
Very good running conditions. Yeah. So I think it's going to be a quite... World Cross always does depend who shows up. But I think obviously Team USA is probably going to be the best it's been for maybe ever. I would imagine, just like being a home one. And I think a lot of the countries are going to send, maybe not all the European countries, but I think a lot of the countries will send pretty good teams. So I think it's going to be an actual like real competitive world cross. So yeah, I'm not really thinking about it yet, but I am anticipating a very hard race.
Hell yeah. I'm excited for you, Morgan. It's going to be good. Get to rep.
Nice.
Rep the kit again.
Yeah.
Green and gold, baby.
Oh, so excited for that.
Very exciting.
And also just like, dude, I would do world cross for Australia every single time if it was like realistic, you know what I mean? Like that's just like such a cool event. It was the first team that I ever made, was like a World Junior Cross team. And I had like such good, or I have such good memories of like going on that trip, because the thing is that's so fun about a cross trip, which is, this is how we probably all feel like going back to college, like going on a cross trip versus a track trip. Maybe not any of you, because you guys don't really have like any other events, I don't think. But cross is just like such a small, it's just like, you know, it's just like the distance runners, it's small. It's just like there's one race. Mm. Like my sister, like one of the things she said, she's like, yeah, this was like such a cool event, because, and I think a lot of that was just like, it's actually exciting to just have like one 30-minute race as opposed to
seven
like 1 minute race, so whatever it is at a track meet, you know, like to have a one race where it's like, okay, everyone's racing here, and like it's long enough that actually like there's like tension building throughout it. You get to see the runners multiple times, so yeah, sorry, we'll stop jerking off. Actually, we're not going to stop jerking off cross country, because we do have to maybe briefly mention that the US cross champs is on this weekend. And this is going to be, on one hand I completely understand if you're a pro runner in America right now, why this would maybe annoy you, because it's maybe not going to be the most accurate thing to what Tallahassee is going to be. But I fucking love that they are having NXN.
Yeah.
And then they're having, I think, the 2K race, and then they're having the 10K race in the, I imagine it's going to be rainy and muddy.
I looked at the weather. It looks like it's raining every single day this week. It's going to be like a mud bath.
By the time it gets to the 10K, that course is going to be
you might as well just like, choose the corners and turns and slide down them. Yeah. Like, there's no point. You're going to go down anyway.
Bring your flippers. Go for, like,
yeah.
Seriously.
Grab your snorkel, boys. We're going swimming.
Like, how, I think it's going to be so interesting.
I don't know. I wonder why they chose NXN.
Well, like, I can tell you why.
I can tell you why. A sponsor. Money, sponsor but, and money. Yeah.
But, so yeah, it is kind of stupid, but it's also cool, because it's like,
dude, honestly,
it's
they
cool for the high schoolers.
They should have flipped it. Yeah, They should have put the high schoolers last. They put the 10K and 2K on first, and then I want to see high schoolers in a bloodbath and a mud puddle.
I think
the high schoolers can hang out and watch the pros. The pros are probably not going to hang around to watch high schoolers.
You don't think so?
That's well, true. Maybe, but it's cooler for the high schoolers want to be done with their race.
Yeah, I see your point.
And then watch their like
what? But there might be some high schoolers that want to run the race too. You know, there might be just some really good high schoolers like, I'm going to trial as well.
But honestly, regardless, like, you know that 80% chance this time of year it's going to be a mud bath. It doesn't even matter that there's like the races before are going to make it so fucking bad. But even if there weren't any races before, I think you could make an argument like this is the opposite of what Tallahassee is going to be. You know, like this is like so different. So I think it's going to change things up a lot. And I don't know, I haven't seen a start list or anything, but it seems like there's some lots of really good guys that are going to turn up and go for it. We've been seeing the Mike Smith, the lead squad, has been preparing for this one, it seems like, for...
Yeah, George, what's the scoop there?
I think word on the street is they're trying to make some teams over at Mike Smith Elite.
So they're still a collective team. Okay, so Mike Smith Elite is still a collective team. They're trying to make some teams, USA team, for sure.
It's arguably more so a collective team.
More collective team now, actually. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Well, is Mike going to be the head coach for the USA team?
Is that a thing?
They do send coaches.
They do send coaches. I imagine if most of his guys make the team, which is probably a high probability.
Smith and Ritz have to race the 2K against each other for the...
Well, we know who's winning that.
For the rights to...
That's a good way to
I would love to see that. And then Ritz just pulls his hamstring in the last stretch.
Remember, there used to be a coaches race at like NCAAs.
I didn't remember that.
It was like the day before.
Most coaches can't even... Jog.
They have like the media races at...
Yeah, they do
the media. Biggest championships now, which is also similarly fun.
Well, I'm excited. It's going to be a great weekend if you like to watch cross country. That's for
sadly,
that's
Connor Mann's pulled out.
Oh, he did pull out?
I didn't see that. Yeah. I would have loved to see him in that race.
So who's the favorite right now?
Probably Nico, right?
What about the bloke Nico, that was second at the NCAAs?
Oh, Blanksy.
No.
Rocky.
Oh, Rocky.
Oh, Rocky and Blanks are both doing it, actually.
Those two would be very good, I imagine, as well. Yeah, maybe. If they're fit.
Dude, that's going to be stacked. Drew Hunt is doing it, representing Boulder. I don't know who else from who's doing it, but...
Sage is doing the
2K
trial, and then Olivia's doing the 10K. Mm-hmm. So it'd be pretty fun.
That's going to be sick.
No hurdles for Olivia, but that will conserve some energy
maybe
for her.
Maybe they'll put some stuff out there.
No, they'll chuck something out for her. Yeah, but it should be good. I'm excited to watch.
It's going to be a real good race and something different from the track.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, that's going to be very
should we do a group fantasy league for it?
like we did, like you guys did. I would actually do that for the USA one.
Who's your first pick?
That Rocky kid.
I'm going with Woody Kincaid.
Oh, Woody's doing it. Hell yeah, hell yes. I would put
Rocky's gonna be. Can I just
Rocky
say,
number one, Nico Rocky? Number two, and then Woody coming in for third.
What a freak Rocky is! But did you guys see that he was like hard on himself in the interview afterwards?
Yeah,
I was like, dude, you just like Hopton's like maybe one of the best runners in the world, especially at a 10K cross country. Like, you did well.
Yeah,
you did well, kid. You did very, very, very well. Don't be so hard. But maybe that's what makes him great.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, you know.
So.
I think shooting blanks would be pretty damn good, actually.
Yeah, he's... Well, those guys are going to be very hard to beat. But I guess, like, dude, it will be interesting if Nico can convert. Because it does feel like Nico has always maybe been, like, a touch better on the track compared to other people on the cross. But he's made such big jumps on the track. So maybe that will just like completely
he's just an aerobic beast.
Convert over to the cross course as well and be the exact same dominance. But that's going to be so entertaining.
No Grant Fisher, though.
Yeah.
No Grant. He's dealing with injury, right?
No, is he actually?
Not, he's just not doing it. He was never going to do it.
Dude, those guys. So I would love for, I would really love for those guys to do it. But I think it's a real... almost like Bowman mindset where, and like you got to respect it because they get the results, but like they're like so on during the track season that I think for them, the idea of like doing an actual like meaningful big race before like January 1st or whatever is like so hard because they're just like such, they're like, we need our off season. And then once January 1st comes around, it's like they're on for 7 months or whatever it is.
Is, do we know who for the 2K? For USA, is Cole Hocker doing that? Is Josh Kerr doing it? No.
Neither of those two. There's a bunch of good guys doing it, though.
Okay.
Ethan Strand has entered, I think, in both the 2K and the 10K.
Oh, nice.
So it'll be interesting to see what he ends up doing because he's a good full-on cross guy, 10K as well.
What about Parker?
He's entered, I think.
He's in the 10K?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Like, we didn't even mention him yet. Like, yeah, it's actually very, very stacked.
It's a very, very good... We're just mentioning a few top guns. There's a lot of top guns in there.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
There is some other kind of, like, rapid-fire track news stuff that we can go through. What do you guys think about the article that came out about the Grand Slam athletes potentially having to pay back money?
I thought that was a joke.
Yeah, I was like, how is, like, this legally possible? But I guess it is.
What do they do? Just send you a bill for your prize money?
They send the debt collectors.
Wait, so you
seems
get,
impossible.
So say, for example, you run Grand Slam, right? And you win the overall thing and you win $100,000. They only send you 50%, right?
Which well, so 50, far, they
have,
so far.
They've
sent 50%. So then they come back to you and say, hey, we actually need that 50 grand back.
Yeah.
That's not legal, is it? Because you've earned that on a contract.
I guess, or on a, so maybe technically... This is me just like slightly making this up. Grand Slam wasn't meant to pay the athletes before. It was meant to pay some other people who have money. That's what I think this is. I think there's probably like this big stipulations when it comes to bankruptcy and there's probably like these people get paid first and these people, and probably the athletes are at,
like
the,
at the bottom
of that, yeah. I would guess. So maybe that's shocking. What it is. But dude, so it just goes from bad to worse.
I'm excited for season two of Grand Slam.
Yeah.
Season two will be named bankruptcy.
Weird.
Yeah.
I mean, surely we could buy that league now.
I don't think they could give it away. Yeah, I think you buy it and you're just $10 million in debt, I think.
No, but we can, yeah, we could turn it around.
I mean, they haven't even been able to get prize money out of some people that like got caught doping after winning marathons and stuff. They're going to get prize money from people.
I really don't know how this works.
It's not going to work. Legally. There's no work. Like they're cooked. Surely.
I know Yara's probably not giving back his money. He's probably like, nope.
Nope. He's definitely not giving it back.
Yeah, I actually don't know how that works, but that sounds like just a shit
show. Isn't that the agent's job, is to kind of protect the athlete and say no, piss off?
Maybe they didn't read the contracts close enough.
Who knows?
It's just so sad that like this thing was like all about the athletes and they just made such a big deal out of the money and now it's
well,
all
the hype as well.
Mondo was also Rose Team Michael Johnson at the World Athletics Awards.
Really?
What do you say?
Does he win male or female athlete of the year every year? He must do.
Yeah, because he breaks the world record like six times a year.
I assume he's won every year. He went up on stage and said there was a a league that tried to leave our field events this year and look how that went or something.
Well, look, all the hype, all the, you know, this is the great, this is like the best of the best, it's going to be the best of the best. And then now it's like, unfortunately, it looks like for that particular thing, we're taking 10 steps back.
Yeah.
When it was supposed to be 10 steps forward. And I think intentions were good. But now, if you're trying to take money back from athletes that have earned it, that's when I get a little...
You were fine with it until now.
I was fine with everything they did. I even wrote an apology for them. I was fine with everything they did. And then all of a sudden, they're trying to take money away from hard-earned, from athletes. I was like, this is where I'm going to step in and critique this league. I think this league is now needs to be critiqued by Ollie. But I just know when it's going to happen.
If he can't get this league done, then it's like, yeah, there's no league is probably ever going to be. I mean, obviously, I think there's a lot of stuff that you can look at and be like, okay, like you did this actually really stupidly, like a lot of stuff. But if someone with his name and his acumen, like
he had money too,
do this, then it's like, okay, so this is probably never going to happen like well, this way.
Diamond League now is.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
Looking the, like it's going to be the thing that lasts.
It is. So hopefully they just continue to get better and better, I suppose, is the one positive outcome from this. But speaking of Mondo and the World Athletics Awards, it is a bit, controversial is the right word. Well, I think the Sydney McLaughlin one was more controversial. But so Mondo and Sydney won World Athletics Athletes of the Year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they won overall Athlete of the Year, not just.
Yeah.
They win their event and then they win the overall.
And there was, I think we'll start with Sydney first because hers was so controversial because I think the head-to-head was her versus Femke Bol for the Female Athlete of the Year. And it's like, hang on. How does that even like make, how there's so many other athletes who won multiple medals and like attacked world, you know, all this stuff. And what did Sydney do? I guess she ran a really fast 400. Like she did so much amazing stuff.
Well, the problem with Sydney McLaughlin is it's like, at this point, she's always going to win all those awards.
Well, this is the exact same thing with Mondo as well. So I guess we can talk about both. Because it's like, on one hand, it's like, how does Mondo not win? But then on the other hand, it's like, well...
That's the problem with track and field,
there just needs
Morgan.
To be a stipulation that they can't win every single year.
Yeah. But that's the problem with track and field, right? You have like, 24 to fucking 48 athletes that are number one in the world in an event. Or whatever.
Yeah, how do you compare a pole vaulter to a middle distance runner?
Like, well, the points. They did the points
this year. No, but I mean more in terms of like, this guy is the best pole vaulter of all time. But like, if you just go on overall athlete of the year, it's like someone who gets like two silvers is like in two different events. Like, there's an argument like that's like almost. That person who's doing two events is doing something that Mondo just can't do.
Jakob.
And it's
Jakob's,
so impressive.
Jakob's never won that award, right?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I don't think he even won the Track Athlete of the Year award. I don't think he's ever won that. Yeah. And he's like probably one of the best distance runners around. But like the past few years.
That's what they say.
Probably, but right? Maybe. I would say that. I mean, that might be a bit of a controversial take. But, you know. So it's the way that they measure it. And Sydney, anything that Sydney does,
how is Chibet not winning it? Like, that's like, how is that possible?
I don't know.
Like, what did she not do?
She didn't.
She didn't win enough different events.
Yeah, she didn't do.
And
grants.
She ran so fast. She even ran. Didn't she run a quick 1500 this year as well? Like she ran crazy. Yeah. Like holy shit.
I mean,
even more outrageous is that I didn't win World Athletics Photo of the Year.
Okay, what photo?
I didn't take the photo. It was just a photo from the Dream Mile, which was a cool photo. The only, I mean, I mostly it's just funny that. That photo of me was in there, but also maybe I feel like it kind of should have won because that photo of the Dream Mile, like they can recreate that just every single year on repeat.
Wait, what was special about this Dream Mile photo?
Well, I don't know.
Really pretty.
It was like upside down with some shadows.
It was a photo where it had the runners and then it had the upside down and then on the outside you could see like the spectators.
It was quite cool. But I think you could take it basically every single year and it would look.
The point George is trying to make is
same.
That type of photo of George, you're never going to get again. You're
never
going to get
back.
That photo again. Like
the context surrounding that,
yeah,
I should win.
Also, your photo is great because you won and you fell over in the heat. Like the story behind that
that's
photo.
That's why I should make it.
Should make, win. Yeah.
I mean, but luckily, I made time 100 top photos of the year.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Time magazine. Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
That is sick.
Yeah.
I
made that list as well, but that photo I keep at home. It's a special photo I can't show you guys.
Yeah. I guess maybe like
that was weird.
Yeah, you can come over and look at it. But
I'm going to buy the edition. Like, there's really cool photos in there.
I guess maybe for the track one, they're trying to be more like pretentious, like photographer about it. Like they're looking more for like
the art,
certain artistic elements.
Yeah.
Rather than just like the action of the photo. I don't know. Whereas probably the time when I could see how like
action over art,
they would maybe take the story a bit more into account when they're looking at it. I don't know. That's maybe not true.
Anyway,
sorry about that, George.
I'll survive.
Maybe. Well, who took the photo? Who actually is the one that didn't win?
Some American chick for Giddy.
Apologies to some American chick.
Eric,
we loved your photo.
No. Oh, Chin.
Yeah.
Emily? Started with an E, I think. Giddy. I don't know. But so many people took the very similar photo, too.
Yeah.
There's a number of people on that.
Well, you're just going to have to replicate it next year, George.
No, I'll try and win next year. I know.
No, I meant as in you've got to fall over.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I'll try and win the photo next year.
But no, next year you should actually...
try and win. I was like, no, you've got to fall over and win.
Next year you should just actually get behind the camera. You talked about this new camera that you have.
That's
true. You should just go and try and win best
photo. Well,
Morgan
and I can get there and we can fall over and you can take photos of us.
Yeah.
All right.
That's the passage right there.
Or get a photo of Robert Farkin and then you'll definitely get on the Times 100 photo.
Yeah, he was number one.
Oh, he was number one.
He won. He's in the Dream Mile photo.
I'm also in that photo.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Wait, Ollie won.
I'm in that photo. Won.
Oh, congratulations, Ollie.
Thanks, guys.
You're just a lot. You're just much smaller.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're upside down, I think.
Yeah.
Because of the shadows are up the right way.
See, I'm usually, I feel like my best angle is the front.
Not upside down, though.
No, I don't look good upside down.
Damn, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well.
Must look good enough.
We'll have the angles, you know. Well, George. Sorry about that, but always next year.
Yeah.
Always next year.
So, yeah. I think to close this episode, I did just want to ask you boys how your Thanksgivings were. Did we eat some turkeys this year?
We did eat some turkey.
That's correct. Do you want me to go first?
The turkey was... So, it was kind of, you know...
Did you guys...
It was how Ollie described it.
Did you guys try to do the viral...
Deep fry
turkey. Where you burn your house down.
I remember having Thanksgiving, the best turkey I've ever had.
I know what you're about to say.
Is Olin Hacker's dad's Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay. What did he do to
I
it?
I didn't think you were
going to
say
did
it.
He
did like a honey glaze, like kind of Asian-y style, and he smoked it, and it was delicious.
Because the first, so
smoked.
When Ollie and I arrived in Boulder, we arrived on, this is July 4th, not, do you eat turkeys on July 4th as well?
Americans
I think that's hot dogs.
Hot dogs, but Murky.
I was getting my wires crossed because on July 4th that we were here,
you had
we did the deep fried turkey at Nick Harris's
house.
Yeah, they did that.
Dude, that's pretty funny.
Yeah,
it was good though.
It was good.
Yeah, I made.
How'd the pies go?
Yeah, the pies went really well. I should give credit to Jackson, my brother, and Meg because they all helped me with it. Because when you have one oven and you're cooking a turkey. It's a lot going on, a lot of elements.
Mm.
And I had to run still. So I ran where Meg, Chris, and Jackson prepped with some beer and some football. And then we made a cheese mince pie, which we used. I used puff pastry. The mince was delicious. I actually used the leftover mince in a ragu, which was fantastic. And then I put like different types of cheeses in the puff pastry. And then I cooked it and they all loved it. They said, oh, this is very British. And I said, actually, it's New Zealand. And they said, oh, same thing.
That sounds yum.
But I had a good
Thanksgiving.
It was very, very good. I think you guys would have liked it. It was very good. I had a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I got to watch the Chiefs lose. That was.
I mean, the Chiefs and the Eagles lost, which was a great week for football. And the Broncos are, as George is repping, number one seed right now.
Is that a Broncos thing?
And the Chicago Bears are number one in the conference.
Who
ever thought that was going to be?
For this year.
Hey, the Packers playing the Bears this week, Morgan. You better get on it.
Oh yeah, go Packers!
Yeah, because that's gonna be a big game.
The Packers are good though, aren't they?
Yeah, they're solid. Yeah, I mean the Bears are doing pretty well. If you ask Dylan Jacobs, the Bears are gonna win. It's gonna be a Bears Broncos Super Bowl.
That'd be crazy,
as everybody hopes.
I saw like when I was on my flight, Bo Nix was in a commercial on the plane. Can I just say, isn't it kind of crazy that like for plane movies they have like commercials before them?
Mm.
That's like ridiculous. But
well,
anyway.
They're just putting ads in everything. Dude, what about the Amazon? If you guys got Amazon Prime, where you're playing something and then they'll have the ad and then they sell the product on the side and you can buy it?
Smart.
It's crazy.
Wait, explain that again.
So we were watching What are we watching on Amazon Prime? I think we're watching one of the James Bonds.
Just because Prime Video links to like Amazon shopping, Amazon basically. Prime.
So I was watching the Daniel Craig James Bonds because I love him. George and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago. I love Daniel Craig's, and I was watching No Time to Die. It was the last one. And I was going through, and then because I have the ad one, and then all of a sudden this ad came up for this moisturizer, and then in the corner it says you could buy it and it would ship in like 2 days. And I'm like, this is like crazy future stuff where it's like, and apparently if you said, hey, something, buy it, it would buy it off your account.
I interpreted it like that makes a lot more sense because in my head, I didn't know that there was an actual ad playing. I was imagining that like James Bond is like, drinking something in the movie is like you can buy the same like cocktail glass. It's right here.
I mean, they do a lot of product. They do a lot of product placement in Bond films, like 100%. Particularly
it's a good
like
one for it. The cars,
luxury watches, Tom Ford. Heineken beer was like one, Martini's one. They do a lot of product payments, but crazy stuff when this ads are everywhere.
You know what the craziest part of the story is? That you have Amazon with ads. That's so off brand for you, Ollie.
Dude, I just bought a house. I got a fucking budget.
That's where Ollie's been cutting back.
Actually, you know what I've been cutting back on?
That's making the difference.
You know what I've been cutting back on? It's going to shock you guys.
McDonald's?
Sparkling water.
Luxury shopping at Canoe Club. I've been cutting back on that.
Oh, dude, they're probably going to go out of business now.
Yeah, they probably are.
They're probably struggling.
No, I've been...
As you're wearing some Canoe Club right now.
Yeah,
but... You're actually wearing all Canoe Club.
Yeah.
I love it.
Except for my hat.
Yeah.
My hat's from the coffee shop in New York. Shout out.
But that's
the ad stuff is crazy. But like imagine a commercial where like you saw Yara and a Goose call and goes, I use something something for my daily stuff. Like go get it. Like imagine that type of like
I'm imagining it right now.
Like you got Bo Nix doing that. Like imagine if track and field was like that where you just
if you're in the freaking UK, have you guys ever been in the UK and they'll have track and field athletes and like normal like yogurt ads and stuff.
Oh, the yogurt thing, yeah.
Yeah.
They definitely will before COM games.
Yeah. They did that last time at COM games. Yeah.
There'll be some big UK some marketing.
Big Josh well, Kerr ads.
There's a cool ad of Whiteman. Like this girl's like, oh, like I want to watch Jake Whiteman in a race. And it was the race where I beat him. I ran past him.
Really? What was it an ad for?
Commonwealth Games. But it was like an ad that they showed off and then Jake like promoted it.
Oh, yeah. It's him and a lot of other athletes.
And I'm like, I'm just a better passer, right? It was pretty good. But we're not in any ads. Are you in any ads in New Zealand?
Definitely.
Yeah,
not.
Why is that not happening?
You could be selling lamb. Like you could just have a lamb rack on your shoulder and go buy Beamish Farms.
How many world champs does New Zealand have?
Like three?
Come on.
Right. Three?
Let's get the lamb on there.
Let's do it. Make it happen.
You got Walshy and have you got any like Paul Walter?
Maybe like the rugby team or something. I don't
know. Yeah, because Nick Willis, he got second. I think it was his best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
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 About that time. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of the pod. This has been episode 209. Numbers keep going up. And thanks for being with us. And we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. See ya.